And joining me right now here on a Monday to kick off the week, talk some NBA playoffs. He's joining me all the time. There's just so much going on. Let's get him back on. So my good friend Chris Pirtle. Chris, how you doing today?
Doing good, Mark. Good to be with you today.
What'd you think of that game last night where Atlanta survives game 7 on the road? Maybe that's the best way I could put it. What'd you think of that game?
Well, a little surprised. You know, the 76ers, they get down to the ATL and got out a tough victory at the Highlight Factory to bring it back to Philadelphia, only to choke it away in a game 7 at home after they had lost a 25-point lead the previous game at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. So highly disappointed if you're a 76er fan, but if you're not and you like the Hawks, you've got to be happy with what you saw last night.
What'd you say off air? The Red Velvet? Who is this exactly?
That would be Kevin Huerter, and if I'm not mistaken, he was a former member of the Golden State Warriors, but he comes out last night, Mark, goes for 27 points, 7 rebounds, and that pass that he threw to Gallinari to kind of seal the game. I mean, the guy has got some skills, but Red Velvet is his nickname.
He was carrying the team there as Trae Young was, what, 2 for 16 going into the fourth quarter? It's like unbelievable. Just think about this. No all-stars, no one making all-NBA, and they're in the conference finals. How crazy of a story is this, Chris?
Very crazy, but let me follow up on something you just said, Mark. Trae Young, 2 of 16 at one point, but still had the courage to take those long 30-foot shots at the end to help seal the deal. Very similar to the night before, Mark, where the starting point guard, who he'll face in the conference finals, Drew Holiday, was 2 of 16 himself, but hit some clutch shots when they needed them and helped carry his team into the conference finals. So we saw some really bad shooting performances. Obviously, Ben Simmons will be at the top of that list. But I want to give credit to both Trae Young and Drew Holiday for keeping their head in their game. They've got to give credit to both of their coaches for keeping them in the game and them for taking the big shots when they needed to make them.
Is Trae Young like this generation's Detroit's Isaiah Thomas in a way?
Well, he could be. You know, there were a lot of comparisons to Steph Curry when he was coming out of college. And I thought that was just ludicrous to compare this guy to Steph Curry, a guy who had, at the time, never accomplished anything except for a good collegiate season at Oklahoma. But now, after 3 years, and now into the conference finals, to make that comparison is not a mistake at all.
I think my favorite move with him, and I've talked about this today, is when he drives to the lane and he's so quick that he gets his separation and he throws this 5-foot floater. That's the word I'm looking for. Floater kind of reminds me of Tony Parker on the Spurs. And then it also can go to a lob to Capella or Collins. It is a scary move. What are your thoughts on Trae Young when he drives to the lane?
It's a great point because he's probably the best in the league at doing that, Mark. And, you know, it was about a year and a half ago. It was right before the shutdown of the 2020 season. I interviewed Bob Rathbun, who is the television play-by-play announcer for the Atlanta Hawks. And we asked him that question. We said, what is the difference in Trae Young's game from year at the time? That would have been from year one to year two. And Bob mentioned that his floater is probably the most deadliest floater in the league. He's the best at doing that. So I think Trae Young's floater is awesome. I love his 30-foot shot from three-point range. We saw the pass to Capella towards the end of the game last night. His overall game is exceptional, and one reason he should definitely be in one of the all-NBA teams.
We're here with Chris Pirtle. We're talking about the NBA playoffs, as we're now set with the conference finals. That was the positive. All right, it's been 4 minutes. Let's bash the other thing. What happened to Ben Simmons last night?
Absolutely bizarre, Mark. I've never seen anything like that, and I'm sure you were watching because I knew we were texting.
Yeah.
When he had a dunk that he refused to take. You know, the reporters asked him after the game, why didn't you just go ahead and dunk that, Ben? And he mentioned that he was worried Gallinari was coming over his back, and just a very bizarre scene that we saw last night at Wells Fargo, Mark. Ben Simmons, for the entire series, only took 4 shots in the fourth quarter. And that can't happen if you're going to be a championship team.
And then what about Embiid kind of, you know, throws him under the bus after the game? Like, is this it? Like, trust the process. Is it over now after that loss last night?
Well, I think so, Mark. I think, you know, there was some hope. Even after the 2019 season, there was some hope that it could still work. This was a team that lost to the Toronto Raptors on a buzzer-beating shot by Kawhi Leonard, a Raptors team that obviously went on to win the world championship that season. So the belief in Philadelphia was, hey, guys, we're just a shot away. We're just a couple of shots away from being where the Raptors were. But now reality has hit, and it's not going to work with Ben Simmons. This has gone on for too long. Before you know it, these guys will be in their 30s. So I think you have to make a move, and you have to make it now.
If you were a team like the Magic, would you make a play for Ben Simmons if you could?
I think you would. I think you would, Mark. Anything to improve your team, improve the record. Gosh, you know, it's hard to want somebody that can't shoot the ball, though, at the same time. But when you know what he's capable of doing, he had a 42-point game against the Atlanta Hawks earlier in the season this year. And is there anybody on the Magic roster that can currently pull that off? Probably not. So, yeah, if the opportunity is there to get him at an economic price, then, yeah, you definitely would explore that opportunity.
Did I put you on the spot with that question? Like, were you not expecting it?
I need to know. No, I was not expecting it.
No, because I feel like they got it. I think you keep Embiid and then you try to get some for Simmons. You know what it is? I've been yelling this all day. Them taking Markelle Fultz at number one destroyed their franchise. It was awful. That should have been Jason Tatum, Chris. That's what it should have been.
It should have been, but you know, if you still had Ben Simmons running the point guard, how far can you really go, even if you did have Jason Tatum on that team? So you're right, they made a huge mistake by drafting Markelle Fultz instead of Jason Tatum, but they also made a huge mistake drafting Ben Simmons. I can't recall the picks below Ben Simmons. Maybe you know who they are, Mark. I don't know what their other options were in that draft, but it doesn't look like Ben Simmons was the best one.
Okay, let's look at this up. We're going to do this for Chris Pirtle.
And that's why I bring this up, because, ladies and gentlemen, I know Mark Moses. He's got the technology right in front of him to give us this information. Right. And because we know Ben Simmons was number one drafted out of LSU, missed his entire rookie season to injury, but I forgot who the picks were after, and I've got a feeling Mark's going to share that with us now.
Here we go. Ben Simmons, number one. Brandon Ingram, number two, to the Lakers. Jaylen Brown to the Celtics at number three. Jamal Murray, number seven, Denver Nuggets. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else here. The Sabonis got drafted by the Magic, then traded. There's another bad one by the Magic. Pascal Siakam, 27th overall. Would they be better with Pascal Siakam over Ben Simmons on that team?
Yeah, I think they would be better with just about every one of those names that you mentioned. So, again, that's another pick that Philadelphia missed out on. Obviously, Embiid was not the problem in this series. We saw him go for 40 points, 39 points. He probably averaged about 33 to 35 points a game this series. So he's not the problem. Simmons is, and they gave the guy a huge contract. So good luck moving that contract.
Let's go back.
Poor guy that can't shoot.
Let's go back a couple nights. What did you think of that Game 7 between Brooklyn and Milwaukee there in Brooklyn?
What a battle. What a battle that was, Mark. I mean, Giannis was laboring. I'm still trying to figure out how the Bucks won that game. Giannis was laboring the fourth quarter. He looked like he was out of gas. Jrue Holiday at one point was 2 out of 16, finally hit some clutch shots. And then Chris Middleton didn't exactly set the world on fire that night, yet the Bucks still managed to hang in there and get the W. I was extremely impressed, and hopefully the doubters – and Mike Budenholzer being on the hot seat, which should have never been the case. And I was adamant about that since the beginning of these playoffs, or since the beginning of the Bucks' struggles in round two. The guy should have never been on the hot seat. Look where he is now.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. What size shoe do you wear?
By the way, I like being put on the spot, but I wear a size 11 and a half.
All right, I wear a 12. I bring this up because if Kevin Durant wore a smaller shoe size, do the Nets win that series off the three-pointer?
I think so. And you know, when I first saw him take the shot, I thought for sure it was a three.
Yeah.
And in the old days, it probably would have been, because there would have been no replay to correct it. So yeah, unfortunate for Brooklyn, but they simply ran out of gas, and James Harden lived up to his title in the playoffs, which is not necessarily a flattering title.
In overtime, the box score scoring was 5 points to 2 points. That's how close it was. If Brooklyn did anything on offense outside of Durant, they'd be in the conference finals. That's how terrible they are. 5-2, Chris. That's what came down to the final score.
I didn't know that. Brooklyn scored the first two, so I do remember that.
That's
because
it.
I remember, I think it was Greg Anthony, or no, it was Grant Hill saying, who was doing commentary, that the Bucks looked devastated.
Yes.
The game even went to overtime because they had a 4-point lead. And so they didn't start off too good in overtime, but they were able to finish it off. Give him a lot of credit.
I think his name was Brown. He hit a layup. The Nets go up two. Then Milwaukee keeps missing shots. And Brooklyn keeps missing shots. Then it came down to, this is the whole thing. Giannis drove, hit a layup. They get a stop. And then Middleton comes down, hits like a 10-foot floater. That was the game winner. Then late they had to foul. The Milwaukee Bucks player hit one out of two. That was the game. That's the overtime. That's what's going on. I agree with you, James Harden. I understand. Are you injured or not injured? Because if you're injured, then how are you playing 45 minutes, but then only scoring like 10 points or so? I don't get it. He's a great shooter. Why was he not shooting? I don't understand, Chris. Maybe you can explain it.
Well, you know, we've seen James Harden's shortcomings in the playoffs now, Mark, for it seems
years.
Like the past 5 or 6 years. It's just another year where James Harden flames out in the playoffs. Now, obviously, this year he had an injury issue, and who knows. But if he's out there for 42 minutes, he's got to be productive. Otherwise, you would want to put somebody else in the game, I would think. And then Joe Harris, what a disappearing act, Mark. This
yes.
is a guy that they awarded a nice contract to several months ago, and they've got to live with this guy now. But that was possibly the biggest disappearing act of anybody in the playoffs so far this season.
I've never seen a game, and there were a couple games like this, where it was the Milwaukee Bucks franchise versus Kevin Durant. That was the whole, they just had to survive Durant. That's what it was. You brought up this point, I think you texted me this. So Budenholzer takes on his former team, right, in the conference finals?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah. You never would think that. All right.
Yeah. I mean, last week, who would have thought it? Because the Bucks were down 3-2. Nobody gave the Hawks a chance at winning this series. So Mike Budenholzer facing his old team seemed like the last thing that was going to happen. But here we are, and this is now the third time in 6 years where Mike Budenholzer will be coaching in the Eastern Conference Finals. The notion that he was even close to being on the hot seat was just extremely bizarre to me.
It's bizarre. All right, who do you like in this series then?
I like Milwaukee. I thought that, you know, I think we all thought that whoever would win the Brooklyn-Milwaukee series would win the Eastern Conference. But I tell you, I think we all have a whole new appreciation of this young Atlanta Hawks team. And although I do pick the Bucks to win, I'm going to say it's going to be a close series. I think the Hawks are going to battle them. I think the Bucks pull it out in six and win the series. But I anticipate a hard-fought matchup.
We're here with Chris Poeltl. Let's go to the West. We played one game of the conference finals. First off, are you excited the Clippers finally broke through and made it to the Final Four? We'll start there.
Very much so. You know, it was Friday night, Mark. I was battling a cold. I caught something while I was up in Ohio, so I had to take some NyQuil that night. And the game, of course, doesn't start until 10 o'clock local time. So by the time it started getting really good when the Clippers were coming back, it was around 12:30. But there was no way I was going to fall asleep, no matter how much NyQuil I had in me. And what a performance. You know, these third quarter adjustments by Ty Lue in both games 6 and 7 against the Utah Jazz, they just came out in the third quarter and broke the Utah Jazz back. Something similar was happening in Phoenix yesterday until Phoenix got hot and made a lot of shots. But I couldn't have been more impressed with the Clippers coming back from 25 and knocking out the number one seed, the Utah Jazz.
Terrence Mann, 39 points from Florida State University. That is crazy. Crazy. But then we had game one yesterday. Devin Booker, 40 points. Ayton had 20. No Chris Paul. And they handle business. What do you think of this matchup so far after one game?
I tell you, I'm a little concerned as somebody who follows the Clippers and has a great deal of admiration for the LA Clippers, because Phoenix is really, really good. And they did not miss many shots yesterday in the second half. I mean, an efficient team. I would have to look at their field goal percentage, but I'm guessing it was upwards of 54 to 55% for the game, because every time I turned around, they were making a shot. Devin Booker with a 40-point triple-double. Campaign came out there and played for Chris Paul at point guard, and you've got to be impressed with Monty Williams' team in Phoenix. I don't see the Clippers beating them in game two. Their only hope is to get them back to L.A. and hopefully get the series tied, but Phoenix is extremely impressive right now.
Isn't that what the Clippers do, though? They get down 0-2 and then they start playing?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, here's how I feel. Game one's a wash where the Suns have been off for like 10 days, and the Clippers just came off an emotional game seven. I think the real game is game two. I think you just gave up game one. I don't know what Chris Paul, I don't know the latest on him, but I think the Clippers can come back in game two. I don't think this series is over. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Paul George has to be the best player on the court, I think, for the LA Clippers to win the game. Yesterday, Devin Booker was the best player on the court. So I think that's going to be a huge matchup. Which one of these two stars can be better than the other? Because I think the supporting cast is very similar. But I agree, Mark. It was a quick turnaround. The Clippers had less than 40 hours of a turnaround time. They had to have been pretty tired, even though it's only a one-hour flight from LA to Phoenix. So hopefully they'll get recharged, and hopefully we'll see a different result in game two.
Here's the question for our listeners. What about Kawhi Leonard? Is he really injured? What is your gut telling you?
Well, I think if he hasn't come back yet, I don't think he's going to. And that's basically what my gut tells me.
It's not good. You know what this has turned into? It's like twofold. One, we talked about this last week. It's like a changing of the guard with all these new teams. But second, doesn't it feel like, Chris, the team that can stay healthy the longest is going to win the championship? That's what it feels like to me. What about you?
Well, it seems like that definitely is going to help, you know. And you've got to favor teams like Atlanta with a lot of younger players to do that. The Milwaukee Bucks to a certain degree as well. And so those two teams in the East have stayed healthy. But, you know, in Philadelphia, they stayed pretty healthy too. They just couldn't shoot. No. So, you know, there's going to be injuries every year in the playoffs. That's just how it goes. Chris Paul gets injured no matter what year it is. This year he just happened to go into COVID protocol. So I think it happens. And but staying healthy, though, Mark, is definitely key. I agree with you.
Okay. Let's end with this. Draft lottery is Tuesday night. If you're the Magic, what do you need to bring? A voodoo doll? What do you need exactly? Exactly. Come on. What do we need? Shaq and Penny? Who needs to show up?
Yeah, but with this year's draft, I mean, who knows who's going to be the best player? It's you know, obviously it would be nice to have the pick of the draft and have the number one pick. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. But we don't even know who the best player is coming out right now. So how important is it really to have that number one pick?
Well, when you draft Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons, not so much. That's, that's a good point on that.
If there were a Tim Duncan waiting in the wings, then I would really be excited about getting the number one pick. Speaking of Tim Duncan, Mark, we talked about this yesterday. Terrence Mann made an impact like we haven't seen probably from any four-year college player since Tim Duncan in the playoffs. So that was another highlight so far of these 2021 NBA playoffs.
I need to look this up. Like, this is a good trivia question. Was Damian Lillard a four-year starter in college? It was Chris Paul. You don't ever see that where a guy plays for 4 years. Usually it's two or three, and then they jump. Like, all right, was Steph Curry a four-year player? I got to look that up.
Yeah, and Draymond Green, I can't remember if he was either.
Probably.
I know he was a late second-round pick, as was Terrence Mann. He didn't get picked until the latter part of the second round. He was a Jerry West pick. So Jerry West saw something, and that was obviously a good pick for the Clippers.
Look, he exploded in that Game 7. with no Kawhi Leonard. It was awesome. Did you like where the Clippers had a home crowd for the first time ever for a big playoff game?
Yeah, they were making some noise. That was definitely a first, obviously a first time getting out of the second round for that franchise. It's been around for 51 or 52 years, and it was good to see the Staples Center cheering for somebody other than the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, so the update is the Suns have never won the title, correct? I think that's right. They've been to the finals.
That's correct.
They've been to the finals a couple times. The Clippers have never been to the finals, so no championship. The Hawks, it might have been 60 years or so. And Milwaukee, same thing. That's awesome. That's going to be really cool, man, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, somebody's getting a parade, and I still have hopes that it can be sponsored by Steve Ballmer.
Chris Pirtle, thanks for your help, man. I'll talk to you later.
You got it, Mark. Have a good one.